sports psychologist from River Valley Health, Nick Allen, joins us once again. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on this positive Friday.
Yes, lots of positive things. Now, just because Rashog brought it up in the last hour, what kind of message does it say? And because you've dealt with a lot of, you know, Olympic athletes, a lot of, you know, NHL players and stuff. Can it mentally impact a player if your coach takes away something as simple as no highballs on the plane for grown men?
Yeah, I think it's a huge important factor for coaches and athletes to be aware of. I think it's so important for coaches to really develop and build that rapport and that respect with their athletes. And so as soon as we start treating them like children, especially when they're adults, if we're not allowing them to make those positive decisions for themselves, then you're taking away a lot of that athlete's ownership over the process. And so they're not going to buy in as much. And it's just creating animosity or frustration or potential for those kind of things where it doesn't need to be. So I think it's better to let the athletes have that control, have them make their own decisions. And if there are problems that start to develop, okay, then we have to address those, obviously. But I think as soon as you start taking those away, then you've created a situation where, well, you know what, I don't trust the decision of that coach, or I don't really like the decision of the coach, and automatically, without doing anything else, you've already created some friction, and that's not healthy for a rapport of a team.
And it's interesting because they're really not connected, and some people might not even think, well, the decision I'm making off the ice won't impact how they play on the ice, but it totally is connected from a mental standpoint.
And everything. I mean, I was thinking when we were talking about the interview today, we can look at the physical side of sport, we can look at the technical side, even the tactical side, and yet the mental aspect is really the one factor that's integrated with everything. It affects our conditioning when we're in the gym, it affects our decisions in the tactical decisions we're making on the ice, it affects our technical abilities and how we're developing some of those technical abilities, it affects how we actually apply those technical skills in the game as well. So that mental side, it impacts every aspect of the game. And everything from on the ice or on the field product all the way up into who you're putting on your team, what decisions you are in terms of personnel. It affects everything, every aspect.
To me, when I see it, like there's so much pressure to win in the NHL. And I find that when a team loses, man, do they focus on the loss. When they win, they don't cherish it enough at times. Like, Aikens, and that was just his demeanor. He didn't get excited. He didn't get overly mad unless somebody sprayed him with water. But he didn't get overly upset a lot of times behind the bench. But when they'd score a big goal, you didn't see much. Like, I've seen Daryl Sutter even, who's usually one of the more stoic guys, have a big smile on his face, right? And how much do you think that, like, when you've talked to players who are poor, like, how much does the coach's enthusiasm impact their players, whether it's an individual coach or even a team sport?
I think it's huge. You know, I think it, because you mentioned the celebration. I think you banged the nail on the head, because Not even just in sports, even with general populations, people don't celebrate those successes enough. And so there's no reward. There's no reward for that positive behavior. You know, and we look at, it's just like Pavlov's dogs. You know, we have to have that reward for that positive, that reinforcement for that positive behavior.
Yeah, give them a biscuit and they love it.
Exactly, because if not, then we're not gonna reinforce those positive behaviors that led to that result. And so, and whether it be just, pat on the back, a smile, showing some emotion, I think too much in sports these days, athletes are kind of, we want them to be like robots. And humans aren't robots. We have emotions. We have, we talk about momentum and motivation in games and how that affects games all the time. But emotion is a huge component part of that. And so if we're not allowing some of those emotions to get out and to feed some of those positive things, then it becomes a real problem. Now, do emotions have to be controlled? 100%, because too much negative emotion will start to take a team down the wrong path. And by the same token, too much positive energy is going to maybe, a team's going to lose focus, become cocky. They're going to lose sight of what's really important. So they start making more mental mistakes because they're not really paying attention. So it becomes a struggle for a coach or for an athlete to find that balance. But there has to be a balance. And I think anytime we're too robotic, we're too, we haven't got to the end goal. Well, then not everybody's going to make that end goal. 29 out of 30 teams are not going to make that end goal of a Stanley Cup. So if you're not celebrating some of those smaller successes along the way, when are you going to celebrate? Not everybody's going to have a dynasty where they're winning a Stanley Cup several years in a row. It doesn't happen anymore. So we have to have that celebration along the way. And I think that when we start to not allow that to happen, I think it becomes a real problem. Then it doesn't allow you, when you get sprayed with water by accident, we can't laugh it off anymore because it just becomes, this is what we have to do. I think it becomes such a problem in teams. So I really encourage coaches to, you have to maintain control is not quite the right word, but you have to have some
poise
over the team. But at the same time, it's really important to develop that rapport, and so that people, those athletes will buy into you so much faster if they can engage with you, right? They're not scared.
Nick Allen, sports psychologist from River Valley Health, joins us. When you deal with a lot of individuals, and I'm guessing from an individual team sport, I know we've talked many times, you know, it's such a different mental focus because you really only have to worry about yourself. But it's funny, in a team sport, I've talked to so many players over the years, and, you know, best players on the team, guys who've been a point-of-game player in the NHL, and, you know, the next year, you know, they drop down 20 points or 25, and you're like, and the guy's like, man, I'd go to the rink, and I was thinking, I'm not even sure what I need to do on the ice. Yeah. And what kind of techniques, what things do you tell players to ensure they don't get down that path? Because I'm sure everybody will have self-doubt, but you have to stop it before it becomes a big monster.
Exactly. You know, I think the biggest thing for athletes is to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to mental skills. So many times with athletes, we see them starting to incorporate mental skills when they've hit that slump or when they're having problems with the coach. And really, that makes the problem so much harder to deal with. I find it so much easier if you have a mental skills plan in place. And so that will include the traditional goal setting, you know, visualization, positive self-talk, all the things we've talked about before on the show. But really, it's no different than going to the gym every day. It's no different than practicing your stick handling every day. As long as you practice these mental skills on a regular basis, they're going to inoculate you essentially against some of those stressors. Because it's not a matter of if there's going to be a slump in your career during the season. It's a matter of when. And so it's the athletes that have developed that. And we talked about mental toughness, I think, last time. It's mental toughness isn't something that just happens. It's something that you develop. It's something that you work with with a mental skills plan. And it's not mental toughness, it's mental preparedness. You know, we're really making sure that we're ready for all these situations. So having a solid goal setting plan, knowing what we're supposed to be focusing on in the game. So it's not about necessarily, well, we have to score points, but what are we doing? What are we going to do on the ice to score those points? And so it becomes video review, it becomes talking with coaches, it becomes communication with line mates. There's no one single factor that's probably contributing to that slump. So it that's why it becomes so stressful for athletes when they haven't really developed a plan before. And when I get into slump, what am I going to focus on? What are some things I need to deal with? If they don't have that plan, then I think everything starts to fall apart. And you know, that's what we're starting to see with Tiger Woods. There's a whole multitude of other things that have all come together that have essentially ruined his play.
Nick Allen Jones, it's interesting you bring up Tiger Woods because, you know, he's focused so much on the physicals. I don't know if he has a sports psychologist or not.
I don't know either.
But I'm guessing he probably does. Most of the top-end athletes do. And, you know, I know they showed the videos of how different his swing is. But when you're not healthy mentally, that's where a lot of players, you know, they get into a short-term depression because they're so used to being it. You know what? Hey, at least I feel good so I can go out and eventually I'll find my game, right? I might not score for 6 games in hockey or 7 or whatever, and I might miss, maybe I won't win a few tournaments, but I can get back to it if I'm physically capable. Talk about the mental challenges when injuries come into play.
Yeah, I think the mitigating factor with that is also how many injuries. You know, I was a competitive athlete. I had multiple potentially career-ending injuries when I was an athlete, but they weren't kind of like back-to-back in short periods of time. So I injured my wrist one year, and I can remember thinking, you know, when the treatment wasn't going so well in my recovery, oh, you know what, I was a fencer, and so I'll switch hands. I was my mentality was, I don't care what I have to do, I'm getting back to sport. And yet, so it's when it's just one injury kind of aspect, we can say, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to get through this, no problems, I'm confident I can get back. But when we get that multitude of injuries, now all of a sudden, well, what's next? Or, well, am I actually better? We start to question, we get that second guessing happening if we're actually going to make any progress or make a return. And not only is that, I think it's reasonable to assume that that's going to start affecting our confidence. But now, you know, we start saying, okay, well, am I doing the right treatment? Do I have the right people in my corner helping me to get better? And so not only does that injury sort of affect our physical play, but it affects our confidence. It affects our decision-making abilities in terms of what we're going to do. It makes us start to question, do we have the right training plan? It just it erodes the whole foundation of that athlete. And so it becomes so important to really focus on a couple key things in terms of that recovery process.
Nick Allen, sports psychologist from River Valley Health, joins us 430-9224. If maybe your son or daughter, you're thinking that, you know, they're at that elite level that, you know what, because we've talked about it before, you know, sports psychologist doesn't really need to happen at too young of an age. A lot of times it's just going to cause problems. They've got to be ready to concentrate, number one. That's a big factor in it. And a lot of times it can just be talking to someone who's not mom or dad, right?
100%.
And a lot of cases, because kids still, you know, they don't want to tell everything to mom and dad. Or maybe they're, you know what, sometimes it's, yeah, this coach, and I don't want to look like a complainer. It's nice to have that independent voice who's not going to impact anybody.
Yeah, the ability to vent to someone is tremendous, you know, and especially for athletes, it's no different than a general, you know, population where, you know, we're having a frustrating day at work, you want to talk to your buddies. Well, maybe your buddies are on your team, and they have a different opinion of the coach than you do, you know. And so having someone that you can say, well, here's what's going on, here's what I'm frustrated, instead of, then we can turn that venting and sort of just being, well, this is sucks, this is negative, this is awful. We can start, all right, so what are we going to do about it? How are we going to change it? How are we going to, you know, make a change in that behavior so we can have some more positive results happen as a result? And so, and even with younger kids, you know, I have some young athletes I do work with now, and we're working on to help them not be so stressed during performances, during competition, even during training. So there are different ways that we can incorporate mental skills for athletes. It's just, again, how we approach it, how we address it with those athletes is always very different.
The biggest challenge that you've experienced, pro athletes or young competitive athletes, to get them to open up to a sports psychologist, is there one traditional thing that most people suffer from that they don't want to share?
I think fear. Fear.
Fear of failure? Or fear of what?
Fear of lots. Yeah, okay. Fear of lots. So it can be fear of failure. For some athletes, like, nah, you know, it's okay. I'm afraid of losing. But I don't want to talk about my fear of injury because I don't want to look like I'm weak, you know, or even just, you know what, I don't want to talk to somebody because maybe I'm a little bit emotional, I get really frustrated, I show some emotion, oh no, that's a weakness. And so I think just that idea, that fear, it's not just one specific thing, just this overriding sense of fear that they're not able to maybe make a change, that they're fearful that they can try and it'll backfire or they feel it won't work. So really, but the salient issue for me becomes with an athlete is really developing that rapport and building that trust with that athlete. And so when I work with teams, for example, if I'm working with the team in general, then we'll work with the coach. But if I'm working and the coach, and it always depends on the situation, but if I really want to make some impact with the athletes individually, then the coach has to be separate. He has got to be, I can't work with the coach and the athletes at the same time.
Okay.
There needs to be a distinction because, and you mentioned earlier with the relationship between the captain and the coach. It's much the same thing with the sports psychologist and the team. You can't have sports psychologist working with the coach at the same time as he's working with the athletes on the same issues, because then all of a sudden there's like, well, what are you telling him or what are you telling them?
Yeah, that there's right? really hard to have a trust factor.
And it becomes so hard to come trust. So it's almost better, all right, we might have some team issues that we're working on, but you know what? Coach over here, you go see this person, so you have your independent person you can speak to, and I'll work with these athletes over here and have my independent work with these athletes.
Are more coaches looking at sports psychologists?
I think more coaches are open to the idea of sports psychology, particularly for the teams. I think the idea of sports or of coaches accessing sports psychologists on their own, I think that still has room to grow. I mean, quite frankly, the majority of the people that I see from an athletic perspective, 99% of them are athletes. So, but you know, coaches are often the ones that are encouraging athletes to come see someone like myself as a sports psychologist, or to go see, or to bring in, you know, a sports psychologist for the team. So I think coaches are buying into the impact that sports psychology can have on athletes. I think there's always benefits for coaches to kind of learn some. And I think it becomes a little more of a, in the initial portions with the coach, it becomes more of an education process. So here's how you can better handle working with athletes. But then it can also become, you know what, if you're getting frustrated on the bench, how can you better manage your emotions? Or how can you better communicate with your athletes? Or what is it about that you know, for the midget coaches, what is it about that teenager that's really ticking you off, right, and getting under your skin? How do we deal with that?
Because as a coach, you can't let that happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's not, and there's no easy answer. But, you know, it becomes that a coach, especially in a team sport, has to be able to manage those different personalities. Otherwise, your team's not going to be as successful as it can be.
One last one, sports psychologist Nick Allen from River Valley Health joining us. We're nearing the time now for a lot of amateur athletes. You're getting into playoff season, especially in hockey. And, you know, we've heard the term playoff player before, and a kid could be a really good leading scorer. And in playoffs, sometimes you only have two games, and there's so much more onus. And you could go two games in the middle of the season and not score. No one talks about it. But playoffs, if you're one of the leading scorers in the team and you don't score for two games, everyone's like, oh, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Does the mental challenge change for players when the playoffs come on and where they try to maybe overhype themselves?
Yes. I think the perspective of the pressure changes.
Okay.
Right? I don't think, I think the way the athletes are likely to be more successful is if they can keep focusing on their routine, keep focusing on what has got them to that place in the first place. You know, focusing on their routine, on their preparation, on their visualization going into a game, and focusing more on just finishing their checks or keeping their feet moving or whatever their basic simple goals are for each shift, I think if they keep their focus on that, then the pressure becomes less important. If they start shifting and changing that routine, oh, you know what, it's playoffs now, I'm going to change my whole routine up because there's more pressure now, that usually is a recipe for disaster. Because the more an athlete starts changing what's been working, the more likely they are to make mistakes. So it becomes incumbent on those coaches and athletes to try and keep things as consistent as possible.
When you deal with your pro athletes, do you find the guys on the team sports, do they contact you right before the playoffs as a refresher?
Yes, definitely. And with all my athletes, with pro or recreational or just, you know, amateur, we're always trying to make sure that before major competitions, before competition, we get a bit of a refresher. Because, sometimes mental skills aren't the most exciting thing for athletes to work on. It's just like basic drills, stick handling drills. They're not always the most exciting to work on. So sometimes we neglect those throughout the season. So it is always good to get a refresher, get back on the, you know what, oh yeah, I haven't been doing some of these skills for the last little couple weeks. I really do need to get back onto it. I do need to do some planning for the playoffs, especially because there tends to be a little bit more travel. There tends to be, you know, there is a little bit more perceived pressure, or maybe coaches are putting a little bit more pressure. Parents are maybe creating a little bit more pressure. We need to be able to deal with that in a more productive way. So regardless of the sport, we always try to have a bit of a refresher during the – and then even some follow-ups during the playoffs as well, although sometimes the scheduling becomes a little bit more challenging with that as well.
Nick Allen from River Valley Health. If you got a son or daughter yourself, maybe you're a weekend warrior and you get in the playoffs, you need to improve your game, 430-9224 or rivervalleyhealth.com. Nick, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
Yes, thank you for having me, and have a great weekend, everybody.